kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 457. It is April 27, 2016. Well, today, Christian and faithful and talkative on the same road, and we're going to see in just a little while. We're reading from Pilgrim's Progress directly today. There'll be no Spurgeon added in today because it goes quite a while into the narrative before Spurgeon wants to comment on anything else. So we're talking about Christian and faithful having a discussion about talkative, and talkative's going to join in a little while. What we said yesterday was Christian's lying. All he has lies in his tongue. And his religion is to make a noise therewith. Faithful says, say you so, then am I in this man greatly deceived. Deceived? You may be sure of it. Remember the proverb, they say and do not. But the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. He talketh of prayer, of repentance, of faith, and of the new birth, but he knows but only to talk of them. I have been in his family. And I have observed him both at home and abroad. And I know what I say of him is the truth. His house is as empty of religion as the white of an egg is of savor. There is there neither prayer nor sign of repentance for sin. Yea, the brute in his kind serves God far better than he. He is the very stain, reproach, and shame of religion to all that know him. It can hardly have a good word in all that end of the town where he dwells through him. Thus say the common people that know him. A saint abroad, a devil at home. His poor family finds it so. He is such a churl, such a railer at, and so unreasonable with his servants that they neither know how to do for or speak to him. Men that have any dealings with him say, 'Tis better to deal with a Turk than with him. For fairer dealing they shall have at their hands. This talkative, if it be possible, will go beyond them, defraud, beguile, and overreach them. Besides, he brings up his sons to follow his steps. And if he findeth in any of them a foolish timorousness, for so he calls the first appearance of a tender conscience, he calls them fools and blockheads. And by no means will employ them in much or speak to their commendations before others. For my part, I am of opinion that he has, by his wicked life, caused many to stumble and fall, and will be, if God prevent not, the ruin of many more. Well, my brother, I'm bound to believe you, not only because you say you know him, but also because, like a Christian, you make your reports of men. For I cannot think that you speak these things of ill will, but because it is even so as you say. Had I known him no more than you, I might perhaps have thought of him as at the first you did. Yea, had he received this report at their hands only that are enemies to religion, I should have thought it had been a slander. A lot that often falls from bad men's mouths upon good men's names and professions. But all these things, yea, and a great many more as bad, of my own knowledge, I can prove him guilty of. Besides, good men are ashamed of him. They can neither call him brother nor friend. The very naming of him among them makes them blush if they know him. Well, I see that saying and doing are two things, and hereafter I shall better observe this distinction. They are two things indeed, and are as diverse as are the soul and the body. For as the body without the soul is but a dead carcass, so saying, if it be alone, is but a dead carcass also. The soul of religion is the practic part, the pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspoiled from the world. This talkative is not aware of. He thinks that hearing and saying will make a good Christian, and thus he deceiveth his own soul. Hearing is but as the sowing of the seed. Talking is not sufficient to prove that fruit is indeed in the heart and life. Let us assure ourselves that at the day of doom, men shall be judged according to their fruit. It will not be said then, did you believe, but were you doers or talkers only? And accordingly they shall be judged. The end of the world is compared to our harvest. And you know men at harvest regard nothing but fruit. Not that anything can be accepted. That is not of faith. But I speak this to show you how insignificant the profession of talkative will be at that day. This brings to my mind, Christian, that of Moses, by which he described the beast that is clean. He is such a one that parteth the hoof and cheweth the cud. Not that parteth the hoof only, or that cheweth the cud only. The hare cheweth the cud, but yet is unclean, because he parteth not the hoof. And this truly resembles talkative. He cheweth the cud. He seeketh knowledge. He cheweth upon the word, but he divideth not the hoof. He parteth not with the way of sinners. But as the hare, he retaineth the foot of a dog or bear, and therefore is unclean. You have spoken, for aught I know, the true gospel sense of those texts. And I will add another thing. Paul calleth some men, yea, and those great talkers too, sounding brass and tingling cymbals. That is, as he expounds them in another place, things without life giving sound. Things without life, that is, without the true faith and grace of the gospel. Consequently, things that shall never be placed in the kingdom of heaven among those that are the children of life. Though their sound, and by their talk, as it were the tongue of voice, a voice of an angel. Well, I was not so fond of his company at first, Christian, but I am as sick of it now. What shall we do to be rid of him? Take my advice and do as I bid you, and you shall find that he will soon be sick of your company too, except God shall touch his heart and turn it. What would you have me do? Why, go to him and enter into some serious discourse about the power of religion, and ask him plainly, when he has approved of it, for that he will, whether this thing be set up in his heart, his house, or his way of life. So then Faithful stepped forward again and said to Talkative, Come, what cheer? How is it now? Oh, thank you. Well, I thought we should have had a great deal of talk by this time. Well, if you will, we will fall to it now. And since you left it with me to state the question, let it be this. How doth the saving grace of God discover itself when it is in the heart of man? Talkative's response. I perceive then that our talk must be about the power of things. Well, 'tis a very good question, and I will be willing to answer you, and take my answer in brief thus. First, where the grace of God is in the heart, it causeth there a great outcry against sin. Secondly, hold. Let us consider of one at once. I think you should rather say it shows itself by inclining the soul to abhor its sin. Why, what difference is there between crying out against and abhorring of sin? Great deal. A man may cry out against sin, of policy, but he cannot abhor it, but by virtue of a godly antipathy against it. I've heard many cry out against sin in the pulpit, who yet can abide it well enough in the heart, in the house, in the conversation. Joseph's mistress cried out with a loud voice, as if she had been very holy, but she would willingly, notwithstanding that, have committed uncleanness with him. Some cry out against sin, even as the mother cries out against her child in her lap, when she calleth it slut and naughty girl, and then falls to hugging and kissing it. You lie at the catch, I perceive.
No, not I. I'm only for setting things right.
But what is the second thing whereby you would prove a discovery of a work of grace in the heart?
Great knowledge of gospel mysteries.
This sign should have been first, but first or last, it's also false. For knowledge, great knowledge, may be obtained in the mysteries of the gospels, and yet no work of grace in the soul. Yea, if a man have all knowledge, he may yet be nothing, and so consequently be no child of God. When Christ said, "Do you know all these things?" and the disciples had answered, "Yes," he added, "Blessed are ye if you do them." He does not lay the blessing in the knowing of them, but in the doing of them. For there is a knowledge that is not attended with doing. He that knoweth his master's will and doth it not. A man may know like an angel and yet be no Christian. Therefore your sign is not true. Indeed, to know is a thing that pleaseth talkers and boasters, but to do is that which pleaseth God. Not that the heart can be good without knowledge, for without that the heart is naught. There is therefore knowledge and knowledge. Knowledge that resteth in the bare speculation of things, and knowledge that is accompanied with the grace of faith and love, which puts a man upon doing even the will of God from the heart. The first of these will serve the talker, but without the other, the true Christian is not content. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart.
You lie at the catch again. This is not for edification.
Well, if you please, propound another sign, how this work of grace discovereth itself. Where it is.
Not I, for I see we shall not agree.
Well, if you will not, will you give me leave to do it?
Well, you may use your liberty.
A work of grace in the soul discovereth itself either to him that hath it or to standers by. To him that hath it, thus, it gives him conviction of sin, especially the defilement of his nature, and the sin of unbelief, for the sake of which he is sure to be damned, if he findeth not mercy at God's hand, by faith in Jesus Christ. This fight and sense of things worketh in him sorrow and shame for sin. He findeth, moreover, revealed in him the Savior of the world, and the absolute necessity of closing with him for life, after which he findeth hungerings and thirstings after him, to which hungerings and so forth a promise is made. Now, according to the strength or weakness of his faith in his Savior, so is his joy and peace, so is his love to holiness, so are his desires to know him more, and also to serve him in this world. But though I say it discovereth itself thus unto him, yet it is but seldom that he is able to conclude that this is a work of grace, because his corruptions now and his abused reason make his mind to misjudge in this matter. Therefore, in him that hath this work, there is required a very sound judgment before he can with steadiness conclude that this is a work of grace. To others, it is thus discovered, 1, by an experimental confession of his faith in Christ. 2, by a life answerable to that confession, to wit, a life of holiness, heart holiness, family holiness, if he hath a family, and by conversation holiness in the world, which in the general teacheth him inwardly to abhor his sin and himself for that in secret, to suppress it in his family, and to promote holiness in the world, not by talk only, as a hypocrite or talkative person may do, but by a practical subjection in faith and love to the power of the Word. And now, sir, as to this brief description of the work of grace and also the discovery of it, if you have aught to object, object. If not, then give me leave to propound to you a second question. We have to leave the conversation right there. We'll find out talkative's response next time and Faithful's continued discussion about this matter. He's certain that he has something to say to talkative. Well, do you know a talkative in your life? Are you a talkative in your life? God help us not to be just talking about these things. Hope that you'll go to my website after you're already at my website. While you're there, check out photos. Just click on photos up above and then click on that first album that you see. And the second one too. We're getting into the scores and scores of pictures now. A long photo essay about North Korea, keeping you up to date on what's happening in that awful place. Check it out soon, I hope. Remember where we started today at 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.